You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm, along with the kid here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting you ready for the Browns and the Ravens. 216-578-0850. That's the number to get up and call your shot. Is this a must-win game? We talked about that. Let's talk about this game. What is the most important thing for the Browns to do in order to get the W against the Ravens?
Again, I talked about this Wednesday, I believe, when I dug into some of the stats. And again, I'm not an analytics guy, but there are some glaring things that we need to take advantage of to win this football game. And I think that's third down. The Ravens are predominantly, I think, 34% on third down offensively. And they give up conversions of like 46%. 45% defensively. So winning on third downs, that means converting, keeping us on the football field, and then for us getting them off the field as well. And then lastly is red zone. We got to score in the red zone. So I think that's something that we struggled with the last 2 weeks to get down there and settle for field goals. That's old Cleveland Browns football. That's losing football. When we get in the red zone, we now have a little bit of swagger about us as an offense. Let's find the matchups. Let's abuse it like every other team does down in the red zone and score.
Yeah, we are converting 27% of our red zone trips into touchdowns, dead last in the league. And to show you just how bad that number is, the Ravens are 27th in the NFL in the red zone, and they're converting 45.5% of their red zone trips into touchdowns.
I think the most important thing with this game is there's certain things Baltimore does really, really bad. There's certain things they do okay. They've always been good at stopping the run. Last week was the first time they've given up a 100-yard rusher in a long time.
In two seasons.
Pass the ball. Let's use the pass to set up the run. Let's force them into a nickel package and then run from that. Let's not go run, run, pass, punt. Let's use their weaknesses against them. Let's pass on them, pass on them, pass on them, then run on them.
It's interesting when you look at this Ravens team, though. In two games against Derek Carr and Andy Dalton, they were victimized by the pass in a major way to the tune of 734 yards and 6 touchdowns in weeks 2 and 3. Peyton Manning and Mike Vick in weeks 1 and 4 combined for just 299 yards passing and 1 touchdown. So you've got to take advantage of it. The issue is they're beatable by dominant number 1 receivers. I don't know if the Browns have one. Where they're very good is against running backs and against tight ends. So I think this is going to be a real challenge for Duke Johnson and Gary Barnage, because C.J. Mosley and Darryl Smith are probably the best tandem of cover linebackers in the NFL.
I think that Josh will throw them open, he'll get the receivers open, and we'll be fine if we focus on the passing game. Let's not come into this and say we got to run the ball 100 times in a row and for 2 yards each time. Throw the ball to set up the run.
I agree with that. And in some cases, we're creating our new identity. You know, words into action, and I like this. Why? Because going into the football season and we thought we were going to play great defense and we're going to run the football and make the game shorter and all those great things. If it's not working, deviate from it. Go find what's working. And what's working is spreading teams out, using our assets and playmakers and getting them in one-on-one situations like everybody else does to us. And we're going down the field and we're scoring. That's what matters.
What I like about the move that we're making, the shift, playing more three receiver sets, spreading out, is because I think what we were trying to do is come out and say, we're telling you we're going to run, and then we're going to try to run on you anyway. We don't have those maulers. What we have, though, are very athletic linemen who are very good in space. And so when you spread teams out, you're getting more numbers out of the box. You're allowing guys to move around, get to the second level. And I think it makes us a significantly better running football team. And I'm curious, and I want to find the stats for it. Pro Football Focus gives this to teams, but they don't give it. It's not available on their regular site. How you do as a team or as individuals against, you know, a base box, against a light box, against a heavy box. And they can chart that out. I would bet the Browns running from their three receiver set are probably averaging 1.5 yards per carry more than they were when they just line up and try to play smash mouth football.
I believe that.
I just think in general, like the days of just telling someone you're going to run, it's old fashioned. It's like, it just makes so much more sense. There's more room to run there. There's more space to cut through. It just seems so obvious to me. Again, I'm not a football guy, but it just seems so obvious that that's going to work.
But there are teams that still do that. We're not the only one. You know, if you watch, there's teams that come out, you know, two tight ends, two backs, and one wide receiver, and it's going to be either a one-man route or a two-man route, or it's going to be a run. And you play those percentages when you have that personnel on the field.
Right, but they have offensive lines that are, like Nate said, are more like punch in the
face.
Yeah,
sure,
I mean, again, you know, everybody says, oh, the offensive line played better last week. I guess I must have been watching a different game because I saw McCown getting hit on every play. Even running plays that are successful, there's a lot of times penetration from the defense. I don't see our offensive line playing nearly up to what they're supposed to play, even in the performance last week.
Do you believe that at this point through four games they're playing close to what they were playing through four games last year?
No way.
The Ravens?
No, our offensive line?
No. No. I mean, we still gave up, what, was it 25 pressures on 45 dropbacks last week? That's not where this line's supposed to be.
No.
Especially because the way that really truly is built, it's supposed to be a pass-blocking line.
Right.
The Chargers went into that game with, what, one sack?
Yes.
The week before that, they faced a Raiders team that went into the game with zero sacks.
And they had three sacks in the first half against
us. By the way, if they don't play better against Denver and St. Louis, I mean, it could get real ugly.
Yeah. I agree with that.
They need to. They need to play significantly better. But I do like the spreading out factor for this offense. I think it gives them a much, much higher chance of success running the football. Let's go to Kevin in Parma. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Listen, 2 points I want to make. I've heard that, if Pettine doesn't win tomorrow, he's going to go. What purpose does that serve? You're back to square one again. Okay? Second point, you have to do what Minnesota, Jacksonville did. Let this kid, believe me, I'm not a Johnny fan, but let him play. Let him take his bumps and bruises for a whole season.
You know, I agree.
And then see what you got in. And if he's not the answer, they're not going to the playoffs this year. You guys know that. They're not going to go. But anyway, let Johnny take his lumps and see how he does. And then if you need another quarterback, fail for Cardale.
Have you watched Cardale play on Saturdays?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point.
You'll fail with Cardale.
I agree with you 100%. He hasn't impressed me one bit. So Browns need to, suck it in and let the cards fall where they may and go from this year to the next and try to build something instead of putzing around and doing what they're doing here.
Listen, I agree with you philosophically. I think from an overall strategic point of view for the organization, that's why I said I would have played Johnny coming out of that Tennessee game, because why not? Josh McCown right now, though, is playing as well as anybody on your football team, and so with that being the case, the coaches aren't going to make that switch. They trust him. He's played well. He has not been the problem. You got to remember, we look at it from, or you can look at it from the overall perspective of the organization and the strategy, et cetera, of, okay, let's find out what we have in Johnny. That's our best path to a Super Bowl. If it's not Johnny, then we need to get somebody else. But we need to know, these the up-in-age performers on our defense have not been playing well, so why don't we see the young guys who are supposed to be here to take over, et cetera. But Mike Pettine is coaching for his job. He needs to win to keep his job. And so it is a difficult balance. Something I wanted to ask you before we went to that first caller. As a defender at the goal line, I don't understand why teams play goal line offense anymore. I don't get it, especially when they line up and run between the tackles. So my question to you as a defender, don't you think teams have a better chance of running the football in from the goal line if they go four wide, take four people completely out of the play at least, and then just try to run it right up the middle, spreading it out, as opposed to everybody being there, everybody knowing that all you're doing is blasting off the ball to stop the run?
I think a portion of it has to do with ego, because we play a physical football game regardless of who you are. You want to get in from the 1 yard line, and your offensive coordinator, your head coach, you would think has the mentality that we can go pick up 1 yard. And that's why in some cases you see a team do it on first down. A team might even try it on second down. Very rarely do you see a team do it three times in a row before you then open things up and you go to some type of combination, as we saw, take the Taylor Gabriel 2-point conversion play into account.
Right.
You could have lined up and gotten, what, a yard and a half or 2 yards. But we spread it out.
As a defender, though, what did you, if you were in a goal line situation, did you prefer a team to come out and just line up goal line, three tight ends and everybody in there, or did you prefer it when they did go spread it out?
No, I preferred it when it was all packed in.
That's what I mean.
As a defender.
And also as a defender, why don't teams just do it? Like, to me, the only play that can hurt you other than the running it in from the one-yard line is the tight end slipping through. Why don't you just assign two guys to just knock the tight end so he can't get off the line?
Because, essentially, if the runner bounces the play and you're caught up on the tight end, he's essentially blocking you, and you need a yard, you can just stumble into the end zone. No. So that's the hard part of playing. I mean, playing run pass down there is very difficult. And that's where I control what you're looking at. You know, look at your work, stare down your work, and play your technique is huge down there in the goal line. And I think, to your point, an advantage down there in the goal line, an extremely accurate quarterback is vital. I mean, I could just think in my head that, I mean, the number of times Jordy Nelson's caught a one-yard touchdown from Aaron Rodgers on that back shoulder throw. You know,
yeah.
And it's
like the play that where Gronk splits out wide and he's one on one with the receiver, and you put it on the board.
Put it on the board, and that's exactly. And so, but what your non players, I mean, your non playmakers are irrelevant down there because the ball most likely 85% of the time is schemed to get it to your playmaker. You know, your Calvin Johnson, your Gronk, your Jordy Nelson, I mean, obviously. Vontae Davis drops Jalen Strong last night. That ball is not meant to go in the back corner of the end zone.
No.
You know, Vontae Davis drops him. That was horrible coverage. It's supposed to go that underneath curl, that catch and tuck into the end zone. So, when a team packs it in, they're going to run it, and you know exactly what types of runs they like down there, and there's only so many pass concepts you can do out of that tight end wing scenario.
All right, let's go to Ellis in Orlando now. Ellis, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Point?
You know, good. It's just so frustrating to be in the week five and we're already this desperate. But I really, really think for the defense to make their point, with all this noise that's going on, they got to go in here, play fast, furious, play ticked off. That will silence all the noise. You can go into Baltimore, silence your critics, and show the Ravens that we're tired of being, you know, the little brother. And if you really have your coaches back, this game will show and make or break if you have your coaches back. And I'm going to call my shot. It's going to be a tight game, but the Browns are going to pull it out with a last defensive stop. 27-24 Cleveland. Go Browns.
Go Browns. 27-24 Browns. We like it. When we come back, we'll hear from the man who's orchestrated this offense to some very good performances. Number two passing attack in the entire NFL over the last 2 weeks, John DeFilippo, right after this.